Christians, the church at Colossae. And Paul writes a letter to this church to encourage them because, well, in that day, they were up against some difficulties with people coming in trying to change some of the things about that church at Colossae. They came in, they were trying to teach different doctrine than what Paul had given. They were trying to change the thinking. They were trying to get some folks to look over their way. And really, there were some people that were, they called them Gnostics, and they were people that they said, well, you know, you can't know like we know, and we'll tell you some things, and we'll get into some deep stuff, and what Paul's telling you, you just don't know if you can trust it. And I believe that you've got some of that today. I believe we've got some of that in the church world, in the religious world, if you will, today. But Paul begins to write to this church to encourage them and help them through this time they're in. And, of course, you know, a lot of folks say, well, that was back then. What about now? We live in some time that is similar. I mean, not exactly the same thing, but some similar things that go on in our society and in our day that you and I need to hear some of these truths that Paul has put for us. So in Colossians chapter number 1, as you begin to look at it, Paul begins with a little word of greeting, and then he begins to encourage this church and talk about how that he is thinking of them, how that he loves them, and how that he has heard about their faith in Jesus Christ. So look with me, if you will, and that's through the first 7 or 8 verses. And in verse number 9, he says this. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power, to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day. Thank you again for the good songs and the good fellowship and good Sunday school time that you've given us today. Bless this time now that we spend in your word. Speak to our hearts and just show us some things today that would show a time of worship and a time of praise and glory to you, and all thanks for everything that you do for us. And God, again, just open our eyes, open our hearts, and just give us some direction here this morning that you want us to hear, and the kind of church that would, the kind of church that would live up to a biblical standard and a godly and a right way. Just bless us now with your presence, with your power, and with the glorious moving of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. Save that one that's lost. Draw us closer to you. Make us more like you now. We'll thank you in Jesus' name this morning. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look at this as you begin reading in verse number 9, as you begin reading that little phrase and that little thought there. He talks about, he says, "For this cause," in verse number 9, "since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Paul begins to tell this church, "I am praying for you." And, man, that's one of the greatest things. You know that Spurgeon said this, no greater kindness could another man do for me than to pray for me. I mean, that's one of the greatest privileges, the greatest powers, the greatest things that you and I have at our disposal as Christians, is that we can pray for each other. And we ought to do that. And here's Paul giving this admonition and this word of encouragement to this church. But he tells me, he said, "I want you to know something. I'm praying for you." He said, ever since the day, look there in verse number 4, if you will. He says, "since the day we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love which you have to all the saints." He said, there was a day that I heard of these things. And he talked about a fellow named Epaphroditus that was essential in that, that had been bringing him word and telling him about that church and about those folks. And he said, ever since I heard of that, he said, ever since I heard of it, I've been praying for you. I believe, man, that's a big deal. We ought to come and pray for each other. We ought to pray for fellow Christians. You ought to pray for preachers and missionaries and men and women of God that are laboring in the labor of God. Hey, you and I need to pray for those things. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for families. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for a lot of the things that Paul's going to put into this little sentence right here. And that's exactly what I want to preach to you about this morning on how to pray for your church. How to pray for your church. I mean, as I say, we need to pray for others, but we need to pray for ourselves among ourselves. And you need somebody to pray for you also. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here in this point, is that they need prayer. And you know, some people say, well, you know, that's what them religious people say, and that's what those religious people. Hey, there's more to it than just some little religious talk here. There is some real power in our praying. Amen? I mean, there is power when God's people will get in and pray. So I want you to notice some things that Paul says something about praying and praying for this. I want you to notice this first of all. Listen to what he says there in verse number 9. He said, for this cause, I want you to notice this. He said, we also, this is not just Paul praying. He said, we also, when we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. In other words, Paul's saying, it's not just me, but it is some that are united with me. We are praying for you. I want to tell you, it's good for us as a church to come and pray. And as I say, when we do, let's pray for others and let them know we're praying united in how we pray and in what we pray. We're praying for them. We're praying for other folks. And I'm just telling you, you and I need to get together and unite and glorify God through our prayer life. So Paul says, notice, you know, that it's we're praying for you. But I want you to notice how Paul does pray for this church. There's some things specifically that he says here, and I think those things are good for me and you to hear, good for me and you to know, and good for me and you to put into action, okay? First of all, I want you to notice this. Look in verse number 9, and Paul says this. He says, I, ever since we heard, do not cease to pray for you. Look what he says, one of the very first things. And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. First of all, I want to say this. Paul says you ought to be praying. He was praying, and I believe in turn you and I ought to be praying. We ought to be praying that we would see people that as we pray for them, that they would be plentiful in spiritual wisdom. In spiritual wisdom. I mean, man, we need some spiritual wisdom today. Paul said, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We have a bunch of spiritual immature people in churches today. You can ask them, you know, some old guy on the street was talking to people and, you know, asking them, and I guess, I mean, it's a little bit silly, but it's where a lot of people's minds are. You ask them who the epistles were, and they think they were the wives of the apostles. Amen? I mean, there's a lot of people that's spiritually dumb. They do not know anything about the Bible or the Bible facts. They do not understand the doctrinal and what some of the basic, what are some of the things that you and I stand on in a doctrinal sense as we'll say as Baptist, but I'm talking about as Bible believing folk. Man, we need to stand and have some spiritual wisdom. Amen. You and I all today need spiritual wisdom. Now, I mean, you say, well, what do we know? What do we need to know, preacher? Well, I'll just tell you, Paul says this, look, that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'll say this, first of all, you need to know this about the spiritual matters that are in your life. You need to know about spiritual matters. I mean, those things do matter, right? Spiritual matters do matter. You need to have spiritual understanding of how this thing works. There's a lot of folks say, well, preacher, you know, things are looking bad in the world and things are looking like this is being attacked and that's happening and this issue's popping up over here. Can I tell y'all, none of those things have surprised God at all. God understands those things are happening. And as I said a lot of times, you and I don't like them. But can I tell you, it takes those things to get us to the point where we understand that we're headed toward the time when Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus is coming again? You ought to be excited that your Lord and your Savior is going to step out on a cloud one day and come back and get me and you. Amen. I mean, you need to have some wisdom in these spiritual matters. There are spiritual matters you need to understand. There, as I say, there's doctrine. You need to understand the doctrine. You need to understand some of the simple doctrines. The doctrine of the virgin birth. The doctrine of the vicarious death of Christ. You need to understand about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You need to understand those spiritual matters. Because I'm telling you, they do matter. It's essential for me and you as Christians to understand these things and to believe them. Now, I can tell you this. I don't know everything in this Bible, and I certainly don't understand. There's people stand up, man, they'll get up at some of our preacher meetings and revivals and all, and they're over my head, and I got it. They know more than I do. And, you know, to them, it's like, well, I'm over here playing in the kiddie pool. Well, you know, that may be, but, man, I need to have that spiritual wisdom, that spiritual wisdom about those spiritual matters. And every one of us do. Paul said, I'm praying that you'd be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you need to understand that. Let me tell you this. You need to understand some things about the Scriptures. You need to be able to understand the Word of God. I mean, and let me tell you, you know how you're going to get that? Get in it and learn it. I mean, get in the Word of God. Crack that thing open. Begin to read it. And you might not understand every bit of it, but can I tell you, there's somebody somewhere that can help you. That is what we're here for at church. That is what your Sunday school is about. That is what preaching many times is about. That is why we go through the Bible a verse at a time on Wednesday night, so that we can crack those things open, shred it apart like some cooked chicken, and see what's underneath. Amen. Let's get into the Word of God and try to delve deeper and deeper and deeper, and let God open up our understanding, because you need to know the Bible. Amen. I mean, there's people throughout my life, and I'm sure yours too, I've had some interactions with, and they'll say, well, you know, the Bible says, and then they'll come out with something. And a lot of times I've looked at them, I say, oh, really, where does it say that? Well, my preacher said, amen. Well, I don't mean, you know, do you know it? Do you understand? Can you handle the Word of God in such a fashion? You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have letters behind your name to have that spiritual wisdom. You just simply got to open your Bible and read it for yourself sometimes. And that's what I'm encouraging every one of us to do. I'm telling you, Paul says, I'm praying that you would get this spiritual wisdom that you need, that you'd have a plentiful supply of spiritual wisdom. You and I need that. Everybody in this room, you need it today. Why? Because, man, you're fighting something outside these doors that you don't understand. I mean, there's, as I say, you need to understand about spiritual matters. You need to understand about the Scriptures. And you need to understand this, as I just mentioned. You need to understand that there is a place out there of satanic attacks. The devil's rearing up his head. He's all bent out of shape and boiled up. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 12, it said that the devil right now is doing all that he can, for he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows this thing's winding up. That's why you see the intensity. That's why you see the ramping up. That's why you're seeing all of these crazy things that are happening in this world. The devil knows he's just got a short time, so he's got to put full force into it. And you know what that means? Me and you better be ready to stand against it. Amen? That means, mamas and daddies, you need to pay attention to what your kids are doing. You need to see. I know everybody in the entire country's got one of these, it seems like, isn't it? Everybody, oh, preacher, we all got. Well, let me tell you, your kids can take that, and there's some pretty bad stuff that can happen. I mean, we've been seeing just here recently on some news reports that there is software that can take pictures of your kid and present them in an undressed state. What about that, mamas? Do you know there was such a thing as that? Well, there is. There are things out there that will warp your kid's mind. There are things going on, and right now we're headed into a critical time in our history with all of the AI stuff. There are reports of AI chatbots coming on and talking kids into committing suicide. Isn't that sad? But that's the day we live in. That's what I'm telling you. You need to have some spiritual knowledge because there's some satanic attacks that are going on against the family. I mean, where do you think all this other stuff has come from where they said, well, we don't believe in traditional marriage and we think it's okay for two men or two women or, you know, whatever it is. Hey, all of that is driven because the devil knows this thing's winding up and he's going to attack the home all that he can. I'm glad to tell you, I believe God established the home first and foremost above all things. Amen? I still believe in one man, one woman, and that's the way that it is. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, that's Bible. Amen? I mean, you and I need to pray for each other to have some spiritual wisdom. You need spiritual wisdom to walk in this whole crazy world that you and I go into every day. You need to pray something over your family. You need to pray that hedge of protection. You need to ask God to shield and watch over them and help them. Because, man, there's enough wicked outside these doors that'll really do anybody in if we're not careful. Amen? So Paul says this. He said, I'm praying that you will be plentiful in spiritual wisdom. He said, not only that, I'm praying that you'll be dutiful in your spiritual walk. I mean, you'll be dutiful. Look what he says in verse number 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul is talking about being dutiful in the way that you walk in this world. I mean, you and I, you know, them old preachers, they used to say, y'all to get right, y'all to live right, y'all to be right, y'all to spit white. Amen? I mean, hey, I've heard that all my life. And you think, what does that mean? Well, it means that you and I have, as a Christian, as somebody that's saved, it is our duty to walk worthy of what the Lord has done for us. Walk worthy of that name of a Christian. Walk worthy that when somebody sees you, and I'm not saying trying to lift you up or trying to make something, but they'll look at you and they'll say, hey, that guy's different. Amen? That guy's different. You remember when Peter and John have gone down to the temple and the man that's been sitting there for years, the man sitting at the gate begging alms, everybody that comes in, all of the religious people come by. Some of them may put a little something in his cup. They may put a few coins. They may say, God bless you, or, you know, whatever they may do. But you know what? Peter and John came by there that day. They stopped and they looked at him, and he expecting to get some kind of a monetary thing from them. He looked up. Peter said, hey, let me tell you, we ain't got no silver or gold, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. He reached down, picked him up. And the Bible says this. Get you a good King James Bible. It says, immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And then he went with them into the house of God, into the temple, rejoicing and praising God. And everybody began to look, and they said, ain't that the old God sitting over there to be? Yeah, that's, well, it looks like him. I don't know. It might not. Hey, can I tell you, they dragged Peter and John in before the Sanhedrin court because of some good thing that they'd done. They'd done a good thing. And they were called in front of the religious authorities. By what name or by what power did you do this? And Peter said, it's the name of Jesus that we did it. And it said them guys looked at them and they studied them for a while. And I'm talking about, here's the muckety mucks. Here's the high and mighty. Here's the educated. Here's the guys with, you know, letters after their names, degrees and scholars and all that. They looked at them. And you know the only thing they could figure out? They looked at them and they said that when they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned. But they knew that they'd been with Jesus. Anybody tell you've been with Jesus? Anybody know there's a difference? There's a distinction. There is something sure, certain, and just special about you and your standing in Jesus Christ today. Can they see that? I mean, I'm just telling you, friend. Paul says here that he's praying that their spiritual walk, he said, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Why is that? Well, he said, first of all, your ways ought to please him. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Do your ways please the Lord? Can I tell you, some of those little foul four-letter words that come out of your mouth, that don't please God. Amen? You know, I've been around people before, and they'll say some of that stuff, and they'll say, well, just pardon my French. And I said, that wasn't French, I got it. That's English. Amen? Huh? I mean, look, you're not setting any kind of example. You're not saying I'm a Christian. You're not saying, I'm just telling you, brother, get that stuff out of your mouth and get something wholesome, good, holy, and right inside there. Amen? That's what Paul says now. That's what Paul said. But there's a lot of folks, I mean, they're wearing T-shirts that say all this vulgar stuff. And you're like, what? Where in the world were you raised? Man, I'll tell y'all something. I mean, some of y'all can say amen to this. My mom and daddy, you didn't want none of them. You get to saying some of the stuff people say, hey, there's a bar of soap coming out. They might be a bottle of dishwashing liquid, amen? It might be a big black strap belt. Somebody say amen right there. Come over and meet you somewhere. Amen? Huh? They say, let's see if we can get that out of you. Because we don't need to be hearing that kind of thing. I mean, I'm talking about your walk. The way that you present. Your ways ought to please the Lord. But not only that, your work, whatever work you do, it ought to be fruitful and produce fruit unto him. Listen to what he said. Being fruitful in every good work. The work that you and I do for the Lord, it should be producing the fruit of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Paul said, against such there is no law. You produce those things in your Christian life because you're filled with the Spirit of God. And then notice what else he says, that you ought to be growing in your wisdom toward him, increasing in the knowledge of God. You ought to be getting wiser and wiser and wiser in the knowledge of God. You ought to know more today than you knew yesterday about your Lord. You ought to know more tomorrow than you know today. I mean, you ought to be growing in a place of wisdom towards the Lord. I'm just telling you, Paul says, look, you ought to be dutiful. You ought to expect that. You ought to experience that. I'm just telling you, hey, you know, we come from a generation before where folks expected you to walk right. Amen. Amen? And I'll tell you this, there was even folks before that were lost, but you know what they didn't do? You'd see a man and say, out of respect for the women here, I'm not going to say some of these words I might say. Out of respect for church folks, I'm not going to act the way that I act. Out of respect for these that we know are right with God, we're not going to do some of that. I mean, they had some respect. We've lost plenty of that respect today. Amen? Just flip your TV on and you'll see a bunch of it where people don't mind, you know, fighting against a policeman, cussing out a politician, or protesting against this and that and the other when it ought to be, hey, shut your mouth and get straight. Amen? Huh? That's free. I ain't charging y'all nothing for that. I'll just throw that in, okay? But I'm just telling you, hey, we ought to be dutiful in the way that we walk before this world and show ourselves to be Christians. It's what we ought to do. And, man, as I say, your wisdom. You ought to be learning more and more and more about him every day. So your Paul said he's praying for folks to be plentiful in their spiritual wisdom and dutiful in their spiritual walk. But thirdly, he says they ought to be powerful in their spiritual warfare. Look down at verse number 11. He said, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. He says, look, be in a battle. You're going to be, you are in a spiritual battle. I mean, but he said, I need for you to do this. First of all, I need for you to realize the source of your spiritual power. What is that? Well, you notice what he says, strengthened with all might according to what? His glorious power. The source of your spiritual strength, your spiritual power, the spiritual thing that you've got, it is not of yourself. You don't have anything on the inside. There is no thing within you or with all of you. You do not have it. I don't have it. None of it. But can I tell you this? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen? That's the only source of spiritual power that you have. I mean, you need to realize, he's talking about he's praying for these folks. When you and I pray, We don't say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to. No, you need to ask God and let him do some things. You remember that little story I was telling you there about Peter and John when they had been reprimanded and even beaten by the religious authorities. You know what the Bible said they did? You can go over and read it for yourself in Acts chapter number 4. They went back to their own company is what it said. No, they went back to their own people. Went back to all them that followed. And you know what they said? Oh, boy, what are we going to do? No. They went back and they said they counted all joy that they might suffer with the Lord Jesus. And they began to tell those folks, and they said, come on, you know what we're going to do? Go read it for yourself. It said that they got together and they prayed. And if you'll sit down and read that, you'll see that the prayer that they prayed, it didn't say, Lord, send a bomb on that crowd, blow them up, kill all of them, get rid of them. Didn't say that. They said, Lord, give us your power. Give us your holy strength. Give us the glory of God in what we're doing, and let them see that it's of you. Amen. They wasn't praying for some retribution. They were praying for more power and more presence and more God on their lives. And I tell you, that's what me and you need to do many times. We need to pray and ask God. Isn't it amazing? You know, you look at this here. Now listen, when you're reading this book of Colossians, Paul is in Rome in a prison. Probably on either side of him, and maybe just one, we don't know, but there's a Roman soldier that is shackled to Paul. Paul's got shackles on his arm, and that soldier's over there, and he's either got it wrapped around his belt or he's got it on his own arm, however he's doing it as far as the control goes. He's shackled. And you know what? I don't see Paul saying, well, y'all better pray for me. I'm down here, and I got problems, and I got things going on, and this guy's over here, and I'm having trouble with this soldier, and blah, blah. He doesn't say a bit of that. You see what he says? I'm praying for you. And here's what I'm praying for you. He never mentions his misery. He never mentions his woes. He never mentions any kind of his problem. He ain't talking about that. He's talking about how good God is and how they ought to grow and get better in God. Amen. You know, sometimes, now there are times we do need to pray for folks in those situations. I'm not belittling, but I'm saying this is Paul writing out in the public. Everybody's going to read this, and Paul says, let me help you and let you know how I am praying for you. Amen. I'm praying for you. So he said, look, the source of the power is the Lord's glorious power. The scope of this power, look how broad this power will reach. He said, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. But look what he says, unto all patience and long suffering. Can I tell you, the power of God will make you patient and long suffering toward the things that are going on here. Because I can tell you this, you go back, you know, we did that study through the book of Acts with Paul. And I'm telling you, Paul was always facing something. Somebody was throwing him out of the city. Somebody was threatening his life. Somebody was throwing rocks at him. I mean, there was all kinds of things going on with the Apostle Paul. There was all kinds of issues that went on with him. But you know what he said? He said, I want God to give me some patience and long-suffering through this whole situation. Amen? Can I tell you today, you and I, through the power of God, through that spiritual battle that we can battle, you need some of that patience and long-suffering. Why? Because you're like me. Amen? How many of y'all get upset? Don't raise your hand because you do. Don't. Hey, I'm in the line at McDonald's and that knucklehead in front of me won't get out of the way. Get your order and go on. Amen? Isn't that the way you feel sometimes? Go ahead. Amen? And guess what I found out? I told Lynn the other day, I said, ain't nobody on the stinking road can drive but me and her. And I'm beginning to worry about her. Amen? Listen. Man, I mean, we get so amped up and tied up and twisted up. But let me tell you, we ought to pray and say, God, will you give us that patience and that long-suffering that is necessary for us to stay in this spiritual battle? You know what happens when you lose your patience and your long-suffering in a spiritual battle? You'll either give up or you'll do something wrong. You'll rush in to try to do something. But if you'll just say, God, give me patience and long-suffering. And Paul said that's what he's praying for them, that they'd be strengthened with that strength, but that in that strength they would have some patience and some long-suffering. Don't you notice the last thing that he says about that is that there is a satisfaction that comes with this power. You see that last thing that he says? That he says, with joyfulness. Can I tell you, when you're in this battle, you will be able to experience the joy of the Lord. You know how you get the joy of the Lord? Well, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When we have the joy, when you got the Lord, He will give you His joy. I mean, Jesus says many times, He says, my peace I give to you, that your joy might be full. Amen? Peter talks about that in your salvation, you've got a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? And I believe that's what every one of us needs today. So Paul says, look, here's what I'm praying for. I want you to notice one last thing that Paul says that he's praying for these folks. In verse number 12, he says this, giving thanks unto the Father. Somebody said one time, Paul can't do anything too much till he gets over to the place where he's wanting to give praise and thanks to God for what he's done. I believe you and I as Christians ought to take that as an encouragement to do so. But Paul says you and I ought to be thankful in spiritual worship. I mean, look what he says. Look what Paul says here. Giving thanks unto the Father. Listen what he says. Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has made us. He has made. That is part of the forming and the shaping and the molding of me and you as submissive people to the will and the purposes of God. He wants to make us into something. He wants to make you into something. Hey, think about this. You remember the prodigal son? Y'all know that story in the book of Luke, prodigal son? You know what he did when he got ready and he got full of himself? What did he say to his heavenly father? He said this. He said, give me. Give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. Give me. And that's why the real headstrong and stubborn and ill-spirited person, give me. I deserve this. That's the way that young man felt. But do you remember when he was out there in the hog pen after he got humbled? And he made up his mind, he's going back to the Father. You know what he said? I know what I'll do. I'll rise to my Father. And I will say to my Father, and listen to what he says. Father, make me as one of your hired servants. He wasn't in such a demanding mood now, was he? He'd been humbled and brought down. The Bible says here that God has made us to be partakers of the saints in light. God has made us. Boy, I'm glad God, it took God to do it. Wasn't me and you. We can't make ourselves do it. But thank God He has. Don't you notice what He has done? See the things that Paul says here he's made. First of all, he said he has made us sharers in the wealth. You see what he said? He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. He's made us. Can I tell you something? You're looking at a rich man.
Amen.
Amen? And I'm looking at a bunch of rich people. We are sharers in the inheritance. You know what Paul says on the book of Romans? He said that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means whatever he's got, I've got. Whatever he owns, I own. Wherever he is, I am. Thank God, aren't you glad of that? Amen. That's what we are. We are joint heirs. Hey, Paul says that through we ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful because in your worship, be thankful. And be thankful that God has made you a sharer, a share owner, part of these things that are in. But not only that, notice this. He says that he hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance, listen, of the saints. God has made you to be a saint of God. Now, in the Catholic Church, you have to perform certain kind of miracles and do certain things. And somebody's got to verify them and stand up and say, yeah, this happened, and blah, 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 blah. And they get together and they say, well, here's Saint so-and-so. Amen? Guess what? They'd never have a Saint Steve of Chickamauga. They wouldn't be one. My wife just said amen over there, I think. But I'm just telling you, they wouldn't be one. But can I tell you? My Father in heaven says, you're a saint of mine. And that doesn't make me better than anybody else. It just makes me saved. Amen? It just tells me that I'm one of his dear children. I'm one of the saints of God. Hey, if you're saved, you're a saint. You say, well, preacher, I'm just a child. You're a saint of God. I'm an old man. Hey, you're a saint of God. It doesn't matter who you are, what station in life you're at. If you're saved, you're a saint of God. Amen.
Right. Woo!
And he says that you are counted, you found worthy to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints. There is something there that God has reserved for the saints of God. Amen? And it's me and you that are going to get to share in all those things. But not only does he say that, he says this in closing. He says, giving thanks to the Father which had made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Look what he says. In light. He's made us able to be shareholders of that inheritance. He's made us saints. But he's also made us to shine. We shine. He said, you're in light. You know what that's in opposition to? Where I used to be, in dark. I was in the darkness of this world. We're alive. Hey, Paul says it again over in Ephesians chapter number 2, that you were sometimes in the dark, y'all. We were sometimes dark. I mean, man, we were, he said, even as a Gentile, that you were on the outside, you wasn't in, you were away from the things of God, you were just an alien and a stranger, and you didn't have any part. But thank God, thanks to Calvary, amen, hey, I got in. And now I'm part of the saints in light.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you got the light? Those little kids sing that song sometime. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, will you let your light shine and let it shine for Jesus? That's what God has done for you. Paul said, I'm praying for you in this church, and I'm praying that these things would be there for you, that they would increase among you, and that they would be there to help you in that time that you need it. Amen? And I guarantee you, hey, we all need to pray for each other in that same way. And there's other folks that you know. You know some that are struggling. You know some that are weak. You know some that are in places of difficulty. You know what you need to pray. You know what you can do? Pray. You know what the best thing to do is? Pray and ask God to move on them. Paul said, I'm praying for y'all. I'm praying for you. He said, I love you. You're dear to my heart. You're as my own children. I've imparted the gospel to you. Don't let anybody take that away. I'm telling you today, folks, don't let them take it away from you. Stand up. Stand firm. Be counted. Be a man. Be real. Be in the gospel. Be somebody that God can count on and use in this old wicked world. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song this morning, if you would. Get ready for a word of invitation, a song of invitation. Man, if you need to come and come and pray, ask God to do something. I don't know what you need today. There may be some that need salvation. There may be some that just need a closer walk, a closer connection, a closer time of being a child of God. Well, then it's a good time. Hey, it's a good time to get saved, good time to get close, good time to just get moved up wherever you're at with God. Let's stand this morning, if you would. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? 385. While we get ready to sing this song, Jesus is calling. Is he calling you this morning? Listen, softly, tenderly.